Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover, and we're going to get started with Stephanie Mills and Home.
When I think of home, I think of a resting place, a place where there's peace, quiet, and serenity. And that's where some of my friends have gone. Friends who have traveled with me through my wonderful experience in life. A journey I'll never forget.
When I think of home, I think of a place where there's love overflowing. I wish I was home, I wish I was the things I've been knowing. When night makes the tall grass bend into leaves,
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with me, Ann Ingram. I am your daily lover, and that was Stephanie Mills. Home. And now we're going to get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that power and that presence as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And this morning, we're going to get ready and turn within, honoring the divine presence. And as we take in a deep breath, remembering that we are all that God is. All that God is. So let's get ready and breathe, family. You know, sometimes we forget to breathe. And there's power in the breath, family. Let's breathe together. Let's remember to breathe. We're going to take in a deep breath by breathing in through the nose, holding it to the point of vibration, holding it to the count of eight, and then releasing the breath, family. Together. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Breathe again, family. Be still. Know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, as we come together in this divine space to honor the divine, sacred masculine, to know that we are one, to forgive and to release our ideas and our judgments. They keep us from finding and knowing and realizing that we are all that God is. That cloud our eyes and our heart. Because in reality, we only meet ourselves. And so as we move into the idea of forgiveness, we are reminded that forgiveness is magnetic. Let's forgive together.
Day 5, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive my Father. Blessed and Heavenly Father, today I ask for and open myself to receive your forgiveness for all of the judgments, bitterness, and resentments I have held about and against my earthly father. I ask to be freed from any and all sorrow, regret, grief, depression, sadness, or suffering that I have attached to my father and his life. I ask to be lifted above any and all hurts, disappointments, and abandonments, any rage or anger and shame or blame that I have associated with my father and his life. I ask that you remind me to remember that, like me, my earthly father is a child of God, welcomed and accepted into your love. I ask that you remind me to remember when he wasn't there, you were. What he could not do, did not do, you did. I ask that you create in me a clear mind and a loving heart for my father, and teach me how to see him from a higher place. I am so grateful to know that I have always been guided, protected, and loved by the Father. I pray for my earthly father to recognize that this is also true for him. I rest in thee. I let it be. And so it is. Today, I forgive my father.
Amen. I forgive my father. Give my father. I forgive, Holy Spirit. Help me to forgive. Help us to forgive, God. Those places that might feel unforgivable, but God, we can do all things within you who strengthens us. I forgive my father. I forgive my father. And I'm so grateful, God, to be able to release, let go, and allow myself to be in the freedom of knowing that I am all that God is. And that each and every one of us are all that and more. So in this right now moment, I want you to just breathe in forgiveness this morning, Father. Mother God, help us to forgive. Help us to forgive. Help us to forgive. Amen, Father. Amen, amen, and so it is. I'm so grateful. So grateful. I'm going to get started with letting me in. You've tuned in to the Love Journey. This is Whiningness Part 2. And I'm going to read from The Science of the Mind. And then we're going to hear a little quick testimony from Reverend Knight family.
Steady spin.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And I am your daily lover. That was Let Him In. Let Him In. Let Him In. Yes, they say Let Him In. Let Him In, Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit in. Let God into your heart. He said, what I'm talking about is not carnality, but spirituality. I don't know. It's something about that song. I remember the first time I was in at a Steppers brunch, right? And it came on. And I'm just killing the game on the floor, stepping. And all of a sudden, I get to hear the lyrics. Because I really didn't even know that it was a gospel song. And I was like, wow, I don't know, it did something to my heart. And it just, I just love it. Sometimes I just, when I'm on the floor and I just, it seems like it transcends me to another level, say, sweet as he can be. I'm not speaking of carnality. It's a spiritual thing that sets me free. He's making love to my heart. Talking about God making love to your heart. I'm here to let you know he's knocking at your door, so let him in. Let him in. Let him in. Let him in, saints. Because he's so much more. Don't ignore it. Let him in. I don't know. That song, it do something to me every time I hear it. You tuned in to The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And so my takeaway from that song is open up your heart and let him in. Let him in. And what would that mean? That means to let love in, begin to trust. And so today the science of the mind says learning to trust. Learning to trust. The Bhagavad Gita says, a man of the faith that is in him, whatever his faith is, he is. On his own, in a book called This Thing Called You, on page 32, he said, I place my affairs in the hands of goodness, love, and with wisdom. I place them there with supreme confidence. So the science of the mind said, we say that love is all there is. We say that love is all there is, and we're encouraged to have faith in the God of our understanding. However, until these concepts are experienced, they're just all good ideas. I was 50 years old in Allen 9, trying to get a grip on my life when I had a personal experience that suddenly made my higher power so real for me. Now what? I got quiet and asked, now what? What am I to do? A brand new idea surfaced, which was to let the divine love into every part of my life. A brand new idea surfaced, which was to let divine love into every part of my life. To let divine love in every part of my life. To let divine love in every part of my life. Again, I asked how. But at that time, I was learning to set boundaries, which was really, really scary. And this silent answer was, let me guide you. Let me into your heart. Let me come forth. And so I surrendered, let go, and I did. And before I set the next boundary, I prayed, and I gave the situation to the Holy Spirit. Tell me what to say, Holy Spirit. Help me to be a woman of grace no matter what the response, Holy Spirit. And I give this outcome to you. Voila. It worked. Even though it was scary, I felt so empowered. The situation wasn't even as nearly as important as sensing that the presence in it. You see, recognizing that the Spirit was always there with me, always there with me. And I began to go through that same process over and over again as I changed my life. I learned that it was safe to surrender to the outcome because love really is all there is. Love is really all there is. And when the results were not what I wanted, in the end, they were right for me because I learned to trust in my higher power from experience. What's up in your life? Might you be willing to let love lead you through it? Why don't you give God a try today? Let him in, let him in, let love in. Give love a try today, family. Give God a try. Turn it over. And our affirmation is, as I let the God of my understanding into my life, I form a relationship that's strong and true. I really am never alone. As I let the God of my understanding into my life, I form a relationship that's strong and true. I really am never alone. What an amazing thought, Sam. Let him in, saints. Let him in. All right, family, I wanted you to hear this. You know, whenever I hear good stuff and I be wanting to share, it's just who I am. And so today I want to share this billion-dollar idea. It's called to your million, not your million, your billion-dollar idea. Grab hold. And just like what the science of the mind say today, I want to remind you that God even cares about your money substance. Why do we get focused in on the way somebody else is doing it and think that's the way we got to do it? I was talking to a young lady one day and she was saying, well, she didn't want to be going around and being overbearing and asking people, but she really wanted to be successful. But some of the things that were coming out of her mouth, I was thinking to myself, but why does it have to be what everybody else says? Your success doesn't have to be what somebody else's success is. Your success can be exactly the way it was meant to unfold. And so, family, I want you to know today, be still or being doesn't necessarily mean to do something or not to do something, but being still means to be still and get inspired by the inspired energy of God. Be still means to listen and then move on that inspired action. Whenever I get into something that I want to know and be successful, I go within and ask God, who should I call? One day I was having a situation arise and I needed to get access to $1,500 immediately, right? And I sat with myself and I thought, who could I call? And the name came up and I immediately called that person. And they was like, no problem. And they sent me the $1,500. And I remember thinking, God, I'm so grateful because I could have let my pride or I could have did anything, but I'm telling you, you have to move by inspired action. If you have to put, just like what the science of the mind said, just go within and ask God to lead you. Ask God to give you the right words. Ask God to give you the words and the people who you must speak to create whatever it is you want to create or bring into your experience. This is Reverend Ike. Listen, this is called Let the Billion Idea Inside of You Come Forth. Come on, family. Grab hold to that billionaire idea this morning. This Reverend
Ike.
Oh,
we've got
a
treat for you folks today. You know, over the past few weeks, I've been telling you about how this ministry has been reaching out all over the world. Do you know that even on some of our television specials, by way of Europe television, we even get parts of Russia? Our radio broadcasts go everywhere, penetrating prison walls day and night. Some years ago, That was the... Oh, we've got a treat for you folks today. You know, over the past few weeks, I've been telling you about how this ministry has been reaching out all over the world. Do you know that even on some of our television specials, by way of Europe television, we even get parts of Russia? Our radio broadcasts go everywhere, penetrating prison walls day and night. Some years ago, there was a man in prison who had spent 21 years of his life in and out of prison for one thing or another. Not only was he a terror outside, but he was a pretty bad one on the inside. But one day he laid on his bed in his cell in the penitentiary, and he heard Reverend Ike say some words on the radio. Reverend Ike said, Henry Ford got an idea and that made him a billionaire. Right there, that man said, yes, and I'm going to get me an idea to get out of here. And he made up his mind right then and right there that he was going to be better, do better, and have better. He got a better idea of himself. He's going to tell you about it in just a moment when I call him. He can hardly wait to get up here. One thing led to another, some of which he will fill in. The man got himself out of jail, out of prison, became a decent, respectable citizen. So that now in the city of Washington, D.C., he has his own radio program, his own television program. He's an ex-convict, but he's now superintendent at the United Planning Organization in Washington, D.C., a member of the board of directors of efforts from ex-convicts. Received an award from the Americans for Democratic Action. Also received a local Emmy Award for co-hosting a television show in Washington where it's at. Let's give a great big standing welcome to Mr. Ralph Petey Green of Washington, D.C. Petey, I'm so glad you could be here with us today.
I am too, Reverend. Kind of scared.
And it's so nice for him to do this because he has a special program for particularly the elderly mothers in Washington, D.C. And he's flying right out of here as soon as he talks to us on television to go back to Washington to do this wonderful program for particularly the elderly mothers there in Washington, D.C. Isn't it wonderful? Well, very quickly, Petey, in your own words, you just tell us so that we can be inspired again and you'll inspire so many other people.
Thank you, Reverend Ike. And Reverend Ike, like you say, I'm kind of glad to be here. And you just about said so many things that I could relate to. And I just want to say that everything that Reverend Ike said, I've been a dope fiend, a wine head, a cold-blooded bum. I just didn't... No way around. One thing, I had a good grandmother who used to keep her arms around me at all times, and she tried to keep me in the church, but I got away from the church, and I went on to be a dope fiend. I just went on to be a nothing, an in-and-out penitentiary. I'm 49 years old. I spent 21 years in the penitentiary. But I can tell you one thing. As I was laying in that cell, and I heard Reverend Ike. I used to listen to a lot of shows, and Reverend Ike came on one night, and I said, man, let me turn this chump off. I don't want to hear this there. And something just wouldn't let me turn it off. Something just took my hand back, said, let's leave him on. And I was laying there, and I heard Reverend Ike say, Henry Ford took an idea and became a billionaire. And I said to myself, I said, boy, that's what I'm going to have to do to get out of here. I got to get me out of here. Sure enough, about 2 days later, they called me. Another inmate had went up on a tower 350 feet in the air and said he was going to jump if they didn't take him uptown to see his people. And they was all crowded around, and they called me and said, Petey, can you help us get him down? And I told the warden I didn't want to be a part of that. The warden said, Petey, please help us get this man down. You talk all the time in here. I said, why don't you try to help us get this man down? So I started talking to the fellow inmate. And I got him down, and they took both of us uptown, and they let him talk to his mother. And I was sitting right there with him while he was talking. And after he got everything over, the warden turned to me, say, it took Petey Green, said, we need to talk, thank Petey Green, because he helped get this fella inmate down. And say, it only took Petey Green 19 minutes to talk him down. But what they didn't know, it took me 6 months to send him up that. And that was my idea. When I took that idea and come out, and I come out of that penitentiary, and I come out in 1965, and I had to get myself together, and the parole officers and people who were supposed to help me, they would say things like, me, oh, we ain't worried about you. You going back to the penitentiary. You've been going ever since you were 17 years old, so we ain't got to worry about you. That's what they tell you. That's what keep you down. Them the ones that's supposed to be helping you. That's why they get mad with you when Reverend Ike tell you to get on up and do it. He tell you their job. That's why they get mad with you, Mike. See, they told me, they make you think you ain't nothing. They told me I'd be going back to the penitentiary all my life, but I didn't pay them no mind. I know I had something in my mind. I wasn't going back. And I started moving slow, and it's taking my time. And the same thing, Reverend Ike, say my grandmother used to tell me all the time. I said, Grandma, why don't you save money for a rainy day? She said, money to buy a umbrella with, boy. Money ain't for no rainy day. You can believe that. And as I began to move, and I didn't know I was going to have no radio show and no TV show, but I ain't got no one Emmy, I won two Emmys. And they send me all over the country. They learned me two words that halfway got me rich. One is honorarium, and the other one is consultant. And that's when you get paid for doing nothing, just ride around talking about stuff. And I got... And then in the evening, after I get off from work, I don't do like my father and them used to do, go home and get ready for work the next day. When I get off from work, I retire to the confines of my suburban home out in Oxon Hill, Maryland. Now, you can believe that. You see what I'm saying? They don't tell, and I keep trying to tell all the little people that's like us, we got to stick together. We got to stick together, and you can't do nothing if you're broke. And, you know, I get so mad sometimes when people be mad with me, say, you all on the television, and you can't speak, and you say ain't, and you should try to speak better. I told him this year, I say, well, boy, I'd rather say I is rich other than to say I am broke. Now, you can believe that. Believe me. When that's a... Understand? And I want all of you to know how I feel in here, that I am everything Reverend Ike said I was. I was a gangster. I was a dope fiend. I feel so good now, you should see me. And I go to church with my service, because I was raised in a church. I got away from church, and I was raised in a church, so it wasn't too hard for me to get back into the mainstream society. Rev, I'd like to say this before I cut you loose. And I want to tell all of you this. Sit down and listen closely. Sit down by yourself. Look around your room for happiness, because there's something on the shelf. Wear your watches on your arms, and around your neck you might wear a locket. But thank God and pray real hard to put some cash in your pocket. Take it easy.
Brother Petey Green, he had to videotape his show in Washington today so that he could be here with us, and he's going back. He's flying right out momentarily. I've walked the streets of Washington with him when I was there. We walked in all kinds of neighborhoods, the so-called ghettos, also among the so-called rich and mighty. And he's giving of himself so greatly in so many ways. Yes, he talks a lot just like I do. He talks big just like I do. But also something else, just like I do, there are a lot of things that we do to try to help people that we don't say anything about. He does a lot of things. So let's raise our hands toward Brother Green. He's catching his plane back to Washington to have that benefit program for the elderly in the city of Washington. Say with me, God bless Petey Green.
God bless Petey.
Good morning. Good morning. You're listening to Love Me. You love me, fans of Janine and Ingram. I wanted to play that for you because, one, I love Petey Green. I don't know if you saw this movie called Talk to Me. Well, Petey Green was, the movie had Petey Green's life in it and how he had went to prison and how he came out of prison, became this amazing radio personality out in Washington, D.C., where anybody who's in the radio and take classes, they actually have you watching, you know, a lot of his stuff because they teach from his perspective about being in the theater of your mind, understanding radio from the theater of your mind. And he was one of our people that they use as a measuring stick to teach you radio. Now, I wanted to use that, you know, for us to understand that it don't matter where we come from. Because I speak to so many people. I got a call, like, really late last night. And she's new to the love journey. And she was telling me her story about her being hooked on drugs, her being a woman of the night, selling her body, and, you know, all the things that she had did in her life that she felt that she wasn't good enough. Because she felt guilty about the way she had led her life. And I told her, what if everything that was that happened to you, I want you to really get this, what if everything that was happening to her was creating and preparing her for who she was to become? What if that life was the life she needed in order to become and live fully in her life? What if it wasn't by chance that all those things had been part of her life? Just what? Just if by chance the universe was conspiring on behalf of her life. And all those things that she had been through, and now that she wasn't there anymore, was there to help save somebody's life. What if everything you went through and everything you did and everything that ever happened to you right now was preparing you for a bigger dream than you could ever ask, think, or imagine? I'm sure when Petey Green thought about coming out of prison, he wasn't thinking that one day he'll be recognized in the White House, that he will be recognized by so many, that years even after his death, that they teach in the colleges radio communication, Petey Green's name come up. I didn't think Petey Green had an education. He died in 1984, and they still talking about Petey. The first time I heard about Peter Green was when I was in Kennedy King taking some media courses. And then we was asked to watch the movie Talk to Me. And it was hilarious. I love that movie, Talk to Me. He won 2 Emmy Awards. He overcame a drug addiction, a apprenticeship for armed robbery, and he became one of the most prominent media personalities in Washington, D.C. Petey Green often discussed issues such as racism, poverty, drugs, and current events. His name was Ralph Waldo Green, Jr. And guess who? What's interesting is, I don't know if anybody know that Kathy Hughes used to be married to a guy named Dewey Hughes. And Dewey Hughes was the one who gave Petey Green his first job as a disc jockey at an AM radio station called WOL. 1450. You are listening to WOL 1450. He was the host of his own show. And Dewey Hughes, which was the husband at one time, Catherine Hughes. And Petey Green's show was called Rapping with Petey Green. Yes. And he became very famous throughout the 60s and the 70s. Now, you know, I've never seen too many people come on Reverend Knight's show and Reverend Knight. Well, I probably didn't watch a lot of notes. I don't even remember Reverend Knight having a TV show, to be honest. I was probably too young to really remember, but I remember listening to that particular clip right there, and I was thinking, wow, Petey Green and Reverend Knight. And if you see something funny, watch Talk to Me. It's Don Cheadle plays Petey Green. It's a really good movie. So my point is to you today, as we move through life, as we move through our life, what is it that we can do? Now, we heard, as we listened to The Science of the Mind, we learned to stop and ask God to lead us and guide us. What can we do to create that billion-dollar idea, that million-dollar idea, that to bring back dreams and visions? I know sometimes facts will make you think that your dream is impossible. You know what I'm could have stopped him from thinking about how to create a new life, but it didn't. I could have stopped him, but it didn't. But as you begin to relationship, more facts are going to show up than you can imagine. Yeah, them facts may show up, but where faith is, facts don't matter. Family, where faith is, facts don't matter. Whenever a fact stand up in front of you, do you know what to say and how to get rid of it? Say, get thee behind me. There's no power in you, and I do not believe in you. Get thee behind me. Family, we can speak to a thing. Because there's only one reality, one power, and one presence, and that is God, the good, the omnipotent. The fact will change, yes. And get out your way. Your good facts come in every form and manner you can think of. Sometimes facts come in the form of peoples and body, people telling you that, and people saying that. Sometimes facts come in the form of trying to make you late. Sometimes facts come in the form of trying to make you feel bad when you're supposed to be wherever you're supposed to be. Sometimes facts come by denials, and you have to keep persevering. But God is always with you, forever giving and teaching us how to bring forth abundance in every good thing. See, facts don't have to stop you, because God has placed a dream in your heart. God has placed a dream in your heart. And what is a dream? Who remembers what a dream is? Who remembers what the dream is, according to the love journey given to us by Dr. Johnny Coleman? Dreams is God tapping at your soul, tapping at your heart, tapping, saying, I want to manifest more of myself through you. You answer. God is saying, I want to manifest more of myself to you. That's what a dream is. We got to demand and ask and invite the source of supply into our life each and every time. Each and every time, we got to stop and ask and lead us and guide us. I was listening to the TV yesterday as I was walking past Brenton's, my husband, watching the news, and I had this dream of wanting to shift and change the community. But my heart went out because they were talking about these young girls they've been finding in abandoned buildings here in Chicago, and they've been these missing girls that they couldn't find. Four of them were found in different abandoned buildings, and they were gone. They were dead, right? So I had been having this project in my mind that I kept letting it just lay in my heart, right? And I remember God said, are you going to do what I asked you to do, right? So one day I was cooking and cleaning up the house. Yep, I was cooking, y'all. And I get a call. My girlfriend calls, and they have found her daughter dead in an abandoned building. And I just went through Facebook and found one of our homeless people that we see, make sure we bring up food right here on 79th Street. She had died because the weather had turned really cold in the middle of the night, and they said she died from frozen too. And I remember thinking when I got that call, what can we do, Holy Spirit? I was reading a book at the time called Flower Therapy. Because anybody know me know I love, love, love flowers. I love flowers. And so I was reading about, I was on a particular flower called the red rose. And what was interesting about this particular red roses is that I've always loved the red rose, but I never knew this book teaches you about the essence and what the flower brings into the environment. It's a book about healing through flowers, essence. And so I was reading about the red rose and what the red rose do for the environment. It said if you plant a rose bush in the environment or bring red roses in the environment, that it shifts the atmosphere into the feeling of love. So in the middle of me reading that, I got this idea called the Red Rose Project. And I've been holding it in. I just wrote a proposal maybe about a month ago and sent it to a guy who's looking it over. But I had in my heart to do a GoFundMe for it, right? But I didn't do anything about it. So the day before that, I had just put up the GoFundMe page called the Red Rose Project. Day before yesterday, I just put up. Oh, no, I just put it up yesterday. But last night when I went to bed and I was getting ready to go to bed, my husband was watching the news. And he was talking about these girls they found in their bed. They did a whole segment about the police does not think there's a serial killer, but the people in the community believe there's a serial killer. And I was thinking to myself, they found another girl in an abandoned building, actually, and they did a whole segment on these four young girls. And I was thinking, God. And so I sent my red, I just asked God to bless my Red Rose Project. And my Red Rose Project is asking for donations to help take these abandoned properties and use homeless people to help fix the properties up. And we'll put red rose bushes in front so that they know this is another project that was constructed by the Red Rose Project, right? But each house, we'll come over and we'll pray over it, sell that house, take the proceeds, a portion of it will go to help the families of those who are grieving for them, their child being found in abandoned homes. But it also will change and transform the community by getting rid of the vacant property, by fixing it up and putting a family in that home. But we will also help homeless people by paying them $15 to $20 an hour so that they can begin to transition themselves into a place and go and do the next project. Point is, though, is that my mind kept telling me that, oh, nobody will want to probably donate to your project, Janine. And you know how your mind kept trying to tell you, and it took me from the time that I had that inspired action, from the time that I actually wrote it up until yesterday to actually put a GoFundMe together, right, to go through the courage to do it. And I finally said to myself, but even if nobody donates one red dollar, some way, somehow, you're going to find a way to make this project work because it's that you're that passionate to it. So it don't matter. And I said, so what if nobody doesn't donate? Because guess what? Between financing, figuring it out, some kind of way, God is going to give you what you need to make this happen. Because God don't give provision. God don't give visions without provisions. And I know that was an inspired action on my part. I know it was downloaded by the Most High. And my job is to just move through and allow spirit to move me, right? But sometimes we try to let facts, the seemly appearances of things, come up against us and we don't move. Now, I try not to be like that. Sometimes I may be delayed in doing what I'm supposed to do because I have to move past myself, but I still do what I got to do because I know if I don't, I know what can happen with my disobedience. And so I want to move in my inspired action. And whatever happens, I know that it's going to be good, whether it comes out the way I want it to come out or whether it comes out in another way. I can't be married to how it's going to show up. I just got to move in the way that God told me to do what I'm doing. Now, if nothing shows up in my GoFundMe account, I know I'm still going to have a way to make it happen because it was inspired by God. What is my point is we can't be married to facts. We can't be married to our ideas of how things are going to show up. We just got to do what we've been told to do and watch God open up and allow God to do what it's going to do. Because when we make the first step, God will take the second. But God ain't going to make no second step if you ain't made the first. Our job is to make the first. We got to move by that inspired action. When God gave me that idea, I hadn't seen, you know, a lot of what's going on in the TV right now. It wasn't a lot of that in the news. I mean, you know, here and there we have found bodies in the abandoned buildings, yeah. And we know crime happens in these vacant properties a lot of times. But we have to understand. Now, I didn't know that this was going to be going on when God gave me this inspired action. But I'm super excited to be able to make change in our community. That my mind is transformed. Not only the bricks and mortars, but the mind of the people. And to eradicate poverty in our community. Because I think poverty is a lot of the reasons why our community manifests what it manifests. Not poverty just in money, but poverty in our mindsets, poverty in our ideas. The fact that we even believe in lack and struggle causes us to do what we do. He's probably eating uphill as well. Not to say that people with abundance doesn't, you know, that they don't find reasons to be guilty, but they don't have an abundance of money, but they feel in some area that causes them to want to numb out of life. And we go, even with the love, my goal is to shift the minds of the people so that this can be a ripple effect, so that we can stand and make a difference in people's lives just by showing up being our authentic self. So today I want to remind you, that there is a billion-dollar idea inside you right now. There's an idea, there's a dream trying to wake up right now inside of you. Will you answer the call to your dream? Will you not let anything stop you? Will you not let anything stop you? No matter what happens, know that God does not give a vision without provision. That's my message today. And I want you, family, each and every one of you, to sit still. You heard what Petey Green said today. Petey Green says, be still and get that idea. Reverend Ike said, be still and know there's a million-dollar idea inside of you. Will you let that million idea come forth? Or maybe you already have the million-dollar idea and maybe you have not moved with any inspired action. Today, move. Like today, what would be my next move? I already put the GoFundMe together. Now, what do I have to do next? That's what I'll be sitting with Spirit to find out. I will be sitting with Spirit to ask, what is my next move now, God? Because, see, I thought I could bring the idea forth. I was getting approved, and I did get approved, but it's a conditional approval. Because my credit score is like 759, 770, you know, almost 800. But guess what? I got this one little thing on my credit. So when they came back and gave me this conditional approval that's going to delay me approved. See, I thought I was going to be approved by Saturday. I was supposed to be approved by Saturday. This week I was supposed to be closing with my X amount of dollar check, right? Thinking I'm going to go get my first abandoned building, transform it with homeless people and professionals, do my first red rose bush garden, take pictures and tell y'all how proud I was, right? They come back with a condition because I have one thing on my credit. Because my butt loved my American Express. I was in love with my American Express. I had my American Express years in back when the bubble happened with the roof. They started taking people's American Express away from them. And even though I pay my American Express on time every month, that I did not miss one payment, they took it away, and I was mad, and I was upset, and I couldn't believe they had took my American Express, because I love my American Express. And like, why did I have such a love affair with it? I don't know. Right? Maybe because it had like a sense of prestige at one time. I don't know. And maybe they was taking my idea of prestige away from me. Well, I owed them $1,307. And I said, well, guess what? You're going to take my American Express? I'm not going to pay you. And guess what? Guess what? It stopped me from closing as quickly as I would want to. It's not going to stop me. But I'm saying to you, that's that can. And I just sat with myself and said, okay, well, American Express, you are just becoming a part of my resistance right now. Where am I resistance actually? It is kind of furious. I mean, so I've been sitting with myself and journaling and asking, and that's when Spirit said, well, just do a GoFundMe. So I did the GoFundMe. But that don't mean, that might be the answer, it might not be the answer, but whatever it is, I won't stop. I'm not quitting. I'm in it to win it. And I know that one thing, winners never quit and quitters never win. And no matter how much I was afraid or no matter how many times I got to do what I got to do, I'm going to do what I got to do until the money shows up. I will persist until I win. Until I do that first house. And I get on this line and tell y'all it's done. Because that's how passionate I am about winning. I may not get to the finish line when somebody else get there, but I'm definitely going to be there. I'm going to definitely be in the running. So I'm saying to you, family, take your dream off the attic, out the attic. Rub that dust off that dream. And know that you're more than enough and you're more than deserving. God don't give a vision without provision. And when you're down in nothing, God is always up to something, stirring up something. With that being said, I just want you to know you have the power to be all that you want to be and more. Don't let that dream die inside of you. They say the richest place on the planet is what? Anybody know? Richest place on the planet is where all our beautiful souls are buried.
The graveyard.
Somebody trying to say something?
The graveyard.
Yep, I'm just getting ready to say it. So you. That's why.
I was getting ready to say the same thing, the cemetery. Cemetery.
The cemetery, that's right. That's the richest place on the planet. Well, why? Why is that the richest place on the planet?
That's where all the dreams and
all the dreams
got buried.
Yeah. Yep. That book that
all
you never read.
Dreams got buried.
It's buried right there. All the unfulfilled dreams. That book that you didn't write.
Right.
Unfulfilled dreams, right.
Dreams.
Books that were never written. Songs that were never, yep. So that's it. Fulfilled. You just didn't hear it. Songs never sung. Paintings that were never painted. Sculptures that were never sculpted. So I don't want yours to die with you. So that's what this is all about today. Don't let your dream die with you. Because I plan when I leave this planet, I plan to play full out. I'm going to be by the time I leave the planet, I'm not going to have another, there's going to be nothing else inside of me to be birthed because I'm going to birth it all. Everything that was ever planted inside me, anything God impregnated with me, I'm going to birth it. No matter what it takes, I'm going to do it. No matter how much fear, no matter how many times obstacles show up in the way, I'm in it to win it, family. So I just want you to know, I was born to win. Were you born to win? Are you going to let your dreams die? Are you still waiting to write that book? Are you still waiting to paint that painting? Are you still waiting to start that business? Are you still waiting? I tell people all the time, perfection is the enemy. Because we always want to wait for perfection. And let me tell you, perfection was anything that would make it the prerequisite for making something happen, we wouldn't be on the love journey because I'm going to tell you, there was no perfection in how this started. Baby, I didn't know how to run the board. We had too much noise in the background. People was irritated. And sometimes people wanted me to put it on mute and I wouldn't because you know why? I wanted to hear the noise because I needed to know somebody was there. My girlfriend would call me after. She's like, Janine, it's so irritating. She would be so mad, so irritated, but they didn't hang up. The people didn't hang up. They stayed and came every day with that doggone noise. Because I wouldn't put the phone on mute because I just wanted to make sure somebody was there. Because when it got too quiet, I thought I was alone. And I didn't want to be alone. So it was just, it was a mess. But in the mess, people still showed up because people wanted to hear what I had to say. I couldn't believe it. People wanted to hear what I had to say, and they kept coming through the noise. One time, a guy was so sleepy and so snoring, and he was making love in his sleep. And I kept talking right over him. And it's just amazing that I kept moving on and people kept coming. Through my insecurities, people kept coming because they wanted to hear what I had to say. Perfection has no prerequisite to your dreams. Just show up and let it be done and then perfect it as you move through it. It gets better over time. You know, like the whispers, it gets better with time. Yes, y'all. It gets better with time. It may not be the best work that you put out. But the first work is to let you know that you can do it. That's how I think about my first book, Born to Be Rich. It was my first opportunity to bring forth in the written word. And I can't even tell you the obstacles, the things that came up against, but guess what? Still able to do it. Because I wasn't going to give up. My mind was saying, who going to want to read your book? Mama going to be mad if she finds out the story to her in here. And all kinds of stuff was going on in my mind. So I calmed down a little bit of my mom's story and did the best I could to tell the story with as much compassion as I could. But I wasn't going to let the enemy of my mind or the perfection idea stop me from bringing forth that book, because I knew once I get the first book out, I knew that I can do it again. See, I always think once I can get, if I can do something once, I can do it again. And once I get past the first time, I know everything else is just going through the motions. And I can just work from my hill space then. And I can work from my PowerPoint then. And I can work from my place of power, knowing that if I did it once, I could do it again. And I guess in my redundancy, really all I'm saying is don't let your dream die. Don't let the mind chatter stop you from being and doing. And even if you put something out there and it don't work the first time, try again. Remember, a no is not a denial. No may be a delay right now. That's all that is. No, not right now. We just got to keep trying. And keep trying. And keep trying. And keep going. And every time we get a no, then we just got to step back and see what's the next move. When they came back and said, I have a conditional approval for you, I said, okay, God, what's my next move, God? What's my next move, God? It's me and you. I know that's not a denial. So what's my next move? Because remember, you don't get a vision without provision. Every time I see and cut on the news, my husband is a news addict. And every time I walk past and hear the news and another girl is found in a vacant building, I know that this dream will come to pass, that we will walk down these blocks of the south side and the west side of Chicago where majority of our people live. We will not have these vacant properties vacant any longer. And we will have someone who will live in those families, in those properties, who are from the indigenous land and understand how to treat our community. And we will keep praying and we will keep moving and keep doing what we got to do to shift and change the mindset of our community. Until one day we eradicate the idea that we have to live in this kind of struggle and strife. We will eradicate the poverty mindset. So today, will you let your dream, will you answer the call to your dream today? Did you know your dreams were calling your name? Let's do it, family. All right, any questions, comments, or concern, press 1 on Blog Talk, 602 number, star 6 on the blog teleconference line. Let me say it again. Press 1 if you're on Blog Talk Radio. That's the 602 line. If you're on the teleconference line, star 6. All right, family, I want to remind you today that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love, family. Love is the only choice. Remember, family, don't just dream your God-sized dreams. Live your God-sized dreams. Have a good day.
There's nothing stronger or more powerful than a dream. Even in darkness, dreams have an infinite capacity to see light. They outlive pain. They outlast heartbreak. They overcome doubt. They forget imperfection. They cannot be beaten, broken, or taken. Dreams fight. They persevere. They go on. Because determination will always trump disappointment. Desire will always triumph over defeat. And dreams will always prevail.
For the